I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and I really want to hear from you, our listeners. So connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also mean a great deal to us if you would leave a review on iTunes to help others find our show. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Leon Jay. Leon is originally from the United Kingdom. He emigrated to and is currently living in New Zealand. Leon is an international author and seminar speaker on the topic of online business. Leon started out as a natural therapist and built his first websites on various related topics. That's where he started making money, almost by accident, as an affiliate for other people's products. Leon's mission is to encourage entrepreneurs to stop thinking about short-term financial gain, as is unfortunately all too common, and instead think about how they can contribute in a proactive way, live a life that has meaning and meets their financial objectives at the same time. Leon, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me here.
I'm really glad to have another guest from New Zealand. It's a long way from New York, but business is business and people are people. So it's great to have you on. And I wondered if we could start off by talking a little bit about whether you really started working in the world of online business by accident.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, as I always joke, but none of us were born a marketer. And we all find our way to business or to marketing in our own way. And for me, it was really genuinely by accident. I mean, I was very much involved in the therapy world and studying everything I could about as many different types of modalities and techniques that I could. And along that path, I realized that I needed to be able to actually market myself as a therapist. So I started putting myself online, trying to study some basic business principles. And what I realized was that a lot of it overlapped in some ways with therapy. There was a lot of psychology behind it. And I think that's what really drew me to the marketing angle. But the initial website was really just a labor of love. You know, it was just me trying to share information with other people. And part of that sharing was sharing some of the resources that I'd found along my journey and just happened to have an affiliate program that, you know, I didn't really understand at that time. I just understood enough to know that theoretically, I could make a dollar, but I didn't take it that seriously. You know, it was more just about listing it as a resource and why not use an affiliate link after all. And because the website ticked all of the right boxes completely by accident at that time, you know, there was a lot of content, there was a lot of high value in there. It was in a growing niche at that time. I got a lot of natural backlinks. And so I started getting a reasonable amount of natural traffic that just happened to start buying the recommendations that I'd made. And I woke up one morning and realized I'd made more while I was sleeping than I had during the previous day working. You know, this sort of kind of excited me. And it made me realize that, you know, and especially my other side of, you know, my personality is rather nomadic. I'm quite a gypsy at heart. And so, you know, being a therapist and moving around a lot doesn't really go that well together. And so being able to generate an income online made a huge amount of sense to me. And so I started really specializing and studying in great depth ways to make money and share knowledge online.
You know, Leon, you mentioned something really interesting, which I think is really common, particularly for people who make their living as a professional, you know, whether a therapist or an attorney, an accountant, consultant. People who have a particular sector that they focus on, particular professional skills that they use, often don't think about the fact that if they're going to make it in the business world, especially if they're responsible for bringing in income on their own, or if there's a portion of their work that requires them to bring in income, they don't usually think about themselves as marketers.
No. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, this causes a problem, too, to some degree. And, you know, I knew a lot of very skilled, talented, passionate therapists that were struggling and just simply not reaching clients because they didn't study the marketing side or they didn't team up with somebody who could take care of the marketing for them. And so essentially they failed in their practice. And that's really, you know, far too common problem where people are so passionate about what they do, but they don't look at the marketing side. They don't consider the business side of their business. And so I was just fortunate, I think, that the business side and the psychology excited me enough that I could become actively engaged with it in a way that eventually led to some degree of success.
Right. So for you, you found the connection between your own professional skill and the skill of building a business.
Right. Absolutely. And as I say, you know, to me, over time, I actually became more passionate around the business and marketing side of things in many ways. So, you know, I love the psychology element to it. And so, you know, to me, it was a natural progression and a natural transition. But I know many other therapists that, you know, unless they are really part of a clinic that is run by somebody who understands the business and marketing, they struggle as an independent therapist because they don't understand the importance of marketing or business. And it's not obviously just exclusive to therapists. You see it in almost every industry.
Leon, would it be fair to say that there are people who look at the psychological component of marketing and of business with a negative light?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, marketing in itself has become somewhat of a dirty word, as has business. And, you know, to me, it's a real shame. Somebody was asking me just the other day, did I believe the world's problems stem from capitalism? And I thought that was an interesting question, but because, again, capitalism is, you know, it's all tied into this kind of mindset of making money. And I do agree to some degree that the negative side of that mindset can put profit before people, and that can in itself be a problem. But that's not necessarily marketing. It's not business. It's not capitalism. It's just some people who happen to use those tools for, you know, personal gain over looking after their customers or looking after the environment or the societies in which they operate. But they don't necessarily have to be that way. It's just that some people choose to use them in a negative light, which has ultimately given them a negative image, I think, in general. But on the other side, there are lots of businesses out there that are doing incredible good for the world, changing the world in all sorts of positive ways and helping their customers, providing incredible value. And a large part of their success has been due to capitalism, has been due to marketing, has been due to business structures. So there's absolutely nothing wrong per se in marketing or in business or in capitalism. It's just how you use those tools and for what end mean.
So with that as background, what have you learned that might apply to any kind of business?
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's been a huge shift in my mindset over the last few years, I think, in terms of really trying to get my head around this and understand this. Because I had, as a speaker and as an author, I had a lot of people coming to me asking me, how do I make money? And this really frustrated me. This question drives me crazy. And it's not that it's necessarily a bad question. It's a very important question. I mean, we all need to make money to get by, or at least the majority of us do. So, you know, it's obviously an important question that needs to be answered, but it's the wrong question to start with. And what I realized was that, and this was something I illustrate a lot more in one of my previous books, which was Create, Automate, Accelerate, but the idea of these five P's of priority, where we start off by identifying our purpose. And this, for me, is one of the most important things of any business, is to identify what's the purpose of the business. Why does it exist? And it can't be about making money. That's almost like a given. Like, I mean, every business needs to make money to survive. So that's almost like absolutely obvious. So outside of that, what is the purpose of the business? What is it trying to achieve? And when you look at it in that context, that, if you can find the right purpose, will ignite the second P, which is your passion. And when you become passionate about something, it makes your life so much more worthwhile. It makes you enjoy what you do each and every day. And of course, that is going to increase the chances of your business success, because you will be faced with challenges. But when you're passionate about something, passion is the emotion that will help you overcome difficulty, overcome pain, overcome challenge. And when you become passionate, you inspire other people. And that leads us to the third P, which is people. You need to build a team of people, because not everybody is a marketer. Not everybody is a product creator. Not everybody, you know, is a programmer. And we need lots of different skills for each business. And we need people who are passionate about it and believe in the bigger vision. And when they believe in your purpose, the company's purpose, they become inspired, they become passionate, and they do better work. Again, increasing the chances of your success. The fourth P is place, which is, you know, basically where is the best place to locate yourself to do this business? And that may be a given. It may not. It may need some consideration. And then finally, we come to the fifth P, which is profit. And that's how do we monetize the business? So, you know, from my experience looking at many different businesses, there are so many different ways to generate revenue. You know, that could be through affiliate programs. It could be through selling product. It could be through providing services. It could be through using advertising. It could be selling data. You know, there's a whole variety of different methods to generate revenue. And you see many companies actually use more than one. So they're not based around this question of how do I make money? They're based around of why do I exist? What is my purpose as a business? What's our mission as a business? And then the other P's that kind of follow that allow you to kind of break through those plateaus, break through those barriers, and achieve a greater degree of success.
Were you at a plateau when you realized that these P's needed to follow in a certain sequence?
It's interesting. I don't know whether I considered myself at a plateau at that particular point, though, of course, like anybody, you go through multiple plateaus. I have never met anybody yet that's just on a consistent up curve, you know, on a linear
neither
path
have I,
to
yeah.
ultimacy. No, it just doesn't exist, right? You know, and so we all reach different stages, but it was a definite turning point, and everything has shifted since I came to that realization. Since that book, I have actually restructured many things in my life dramatically. So it's almost like I pulled down huge amounts of structure that I'd set up to get me to the level that I was at that particular point and start rebuilding in a totally different direction. But that's, you know, a long and different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you just share maybe one example or one detail of the plateau you were in and what shifted?
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess, you know, not so much from a financial sense, but really from a personal sense that my enjoyment of what I was doing on a daily basis had reached a plateau. The quality of my life had reached a plateau. And for me, that's far more important than anything else. You know, I mean, if we're making money, that's really only to create quality of life at the end of the day. So my quality of life had stagnated. And I realized it was because while I enjoyed what I was doing to some degree, while I believed in what I was doing, and while I was genuinely building a real business, it wasn't as fulfilling as I realized my life could be. I realized that I could achieve so much more with my life, but not if I was going to keep going the direction that I was going at that time. I needed to pivot in a massive way. And so basically, I actually got up. I was living in Thailand at the time, and I relocated back down to New Zealand again and have since been restructuring my life to focus around a program called Socialpreneur. So we've got a website called socialpreneur.tv and building a summit around that and building awareness around this concept of building a greater purpose within the business framework.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fundamental shift. I've heard this from a number of my guests that they've had success and they look at where they are and they realize, yeah, it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be and something else needs to shift. And often it's going back to looking at the greater purpose and understanding, well, why am I on this earth in the first place? And what can I do better in the next step that's going to help me and help my community, help my audience, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, that's it. And I mean, really, it follows the path of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, and ultimately. So, you know, a lot of people focus when they start building a business on those bottom layers. And it's all about really survival and, you know, making enough money to pay for food, to pay for shelter, to pay for clothing, etc., to get enough status to have a relationship. And those basic fundamental things are important. But I don't think if you're clever enough, if you're cleverer than I was, you can actually plan for those things in advance. You can look at yourself and ask the question, is the business that I'm building going to take me to those points? Or am I going to end up having to restructure everything once I finally achieve something? If you really give it consideration early on, you can actually plan to build a business that will deliver on the higher levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs from day one. You don't need to wait until you make money and then restructure later on. And I think that's a sort of a fundamental error in many people's thinking, is that, you know, they're in a poverty mindset and so they just kind of desperately cling to the first thing that shows them a sign of making some kind of money.
So let's look at that for a minute. If you're at the point where even if you've been in business for a while, but you really kind of feeling like you're hand to mouth and your business is mm-hmm. running you more than you're running the business, which I know is really common for people who might have been in business for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or if you are starting something from day one, mm-hmm. how do you actually look at those higher level needs and start to work towards them from day one? And plus, along the way, what kind of help can be most beneficial to be able to support you to do that?
So, I mean, obviously trying to find your purpose. And, you know, my belief is that at the end of the day, nobody can save the world, but we can all save a little bit of it. And if we all save just a little bit, then together we will save the whole thing. And so it's really about realizing what's your one thing. Is it saving, you know, the pandas? Is it saving the whales? Is it saving some starving people? Is it about overcoming some challenge within your industry about perhaps sourcing some particular type of raw material that is currently a non-sustainable resource and trying to find an alternative solution to that problem? You know, is it transport? There's so many different elements that the world is a very complex and rich place and full of opportunity. And I believe that in every problem, there lies a solution that offers an opportunity. And if we can identify what those problems are, identify what the solutions are, we can then create an opportunity from within that that can give us a life purpose and ultimately a business purpose. And so in terms of really achieving that, I think the first thing to do is really absorb yourself into that mindset. And, you know, it's important to study marketing. It's important to study business. But if you study that too much, if you only study that, then there's a tendency for you to get lost into this world of everything's about money, because our mind tends to reflect the level of thinking to which we, you know, saturate it with. And so I think if you spend more time watching cutting edge documentaries, surrounding yourself with the right type of people, looking for inspiration from other businesses that are taking the sustainable route and finding more purpose in what they do, then I think you'll be inspired to do the same and find other people that can offer you solutions to achieving that. So, you know, that to me is a very important process. And, you know, one of the key ideas that obviously we wanted to discuss for this particular call was this concept of a mastermind group. And to me, this is really fundamental. If you surround yourself and create a group of people that share a similar mindset, and this could be a group of other business owners that are all trying to achieve some form of definite purpose in their business beyond just simply trying to turn a profit, then I think, again, you're encouraged to live at a higher standard and you start finding other people that will support you in living at that higher standard, which ultimately is far more rewarding than any dollar of value.
Talk to me a little more about what you mean by other people who are looking for higher value, not necessarily just people who are focused on what you're trying to do. I guess I'm assuming that you're talking about differentiating the purpose part from the profit part.
Right. Well, I mean, and again, I don't see them as having to be completely separate, but if you focus only on the profit, then there is a real danger of ignoring the purpose and forgetting the purpose exists. And, you know, if you put 100% of your focus on profit, then you will likely attain that. But it will be potentially at a sacrifice of purpose, which you might not realize until later on. Hmm. If you study Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Now, in Napoleon Hill's classic book, he's been quoted so many different times about visualization, about goal setting, about using affirmations. And these three tools have been consistently designed to achieve success. But there is one part that is often forgotten about from within that book. From all of the gurus that I've heard quoting Think and Grow Rich throughout the years, again and again and again, they often overlook the fourth kind of leg of the chair, if you will, of success, and that is mastermind groups. And Napoleon Hill talks about mastermind groups as being fundamentally important to any man's level of success. So if you've reached a plateau, then the chances are to break through that plateau, you need to surround yourself with a higher group of individuals. And he talks about the use of a mastermind group to achieve any purpose, that is, any focus or intent that the group wishes to have. So if you have a clear focus and you surround yourself, you create a mastermind, and these are cutthroat businessmen who only care about profit, then the chances are you're going to achieve great profit, because as a group, you're collectively focused on the end result of making money. But if you surround yourself with other people that share the same kind of core values as you do, that is to first and foremost find purpose in your business, to help make the world a better place, to work with people, to build a team of people and see them as part of your personal community that share those kind of same values and principles, then, you know, that group of people will take you forward in ways that you could not have imagined. They will bring you to a higher level. They will help encourage you to live and act at a higher level. And, you know, this is not something that is like a light switch. It's not something you just turn on or off. This is kind of a linear journey. And so, you know, if you maintain that focus together, then all of the individuals within that group will all rise and continually evolve together, reaching higher and higher levels.
So for somebody just getting started who wants to be part of such a mastermind, where do they begin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And finding the right people for a mastermind to really work, it has to be made up of the right people. And the right people is going to really depend on where you are in your life right now and what your objectives are. To find those people can be a challenging process. And you know, that's something that we're trying to help with at the moment. We're actually just building a platform called The Mastermind. It's themastermind.nz. And this is just going into beta at the moment. But essentially, it'll be a search directory for people to help find other like-minded individuals for whatever pursuit. And this could be, you know, business related. It could be more personal growth related. It could be writing. So there's many different purposes for a mastermind group. But the important thing is that you find the right like-minded individuals who have the same kind of core intent and focus as you do and are just as committed. One of the biggest reasons why most mastermind groups fail is because of allowing basically anybody into the group. And, you know, basically they try to get too many people in the group, or they don't have strict enough standards on who they allow into their group. And when you start getting weak members or people who are not, you know, heading in the same direction, then it can weaken the entire effectiveness and efficiency of a group and cause the real key players to drop out because they're no longer getting value from within that. So, you know, making sure that you have the right people within a mastermind, having a good structure to the mastermind so it's not just a kind of a wishy-washy, you know, directionless group, and making sure that you hold each other accountable. You know, accountability is crucial in running an effective mastermind group. So again, these are all elements that we've identified, and, you know, the platform is designed to be able to help provide solutions to each of those issues. So we provide a platform that can allow you to structure your mastermind groups, to find and filter the right people for your mastermind groups, and to provide accountability with inside of those groups. So yeah, that's that one solution. I mean, outside of that, you know, doing Google searches, hanging out on the right forums, going to meetup.com, and just trying to search, you know, and if you can't find a group that exists, then think about creating one.
Leon, do you find that there are certain questions you need to ask yourself first to know what you're looking for? And then the similar kinds of questions you might ask other people to see whether they're a good fit?
That's a very good question. So I think having clarity inside of yourself before you begin this process is obviously important. To expect yourself to reach total clarity before beginning is unrealistic. I think that the journey itself will provide much of the clarity as you go. But of course, starting with no direction at all, with no question at all, then you're just wandering in the dark. And that can take you a lot longer, you know, like myself, before you finally find any kind of sort of clarity for yourself. So I would suggest that you begin by asking yourself, what is important to you? What is the core values that you hold dear? And what is it that you would really like to achieve in your lifetime? I mean, most people don't realize this, but, you know, the average life is only around 4,000 weeks long. And for most of us that are you know, a little older. We are way past the 4,000, you know, we've lost that 4,000. We're more like 2,000, maybe 1,000 weeks left. Now, that starts getting a little bit scary. And when we break it down, did you know that the average working day only has around 420 minutes in it? So, you know, for me, it's about using this kind of mindset to encourage focus, to encourage us to realize that waiting until we've succeeded before we start doing something good in this world is just crazy. It's absolute madness. We don't have that kind of time. You know, we don't have that kind of luxury. We need to be becoming clear today, this minute. What is it that I really want to achieve? What is it that when I leave this world, I want to have left behind me? What changes annoy me? What's happening in this world that drives me absolutely crazy that I wish I could change? And, you know, that will start giving you some idea, I think, about what you want to be considering, what you want to be focusing on, where your life's purpose may well be. And once you kind of get that level of clarity, then start asking yourself the question, who else do I need to surround myself with that would enable me to find a solution? Because a lot of people, you know, they have the sort of lack of confidence, I guess, really, to believe in themselves that they could possibly create a change in this world, that they could possibly make a difference to these bigger problems. And once we find people who can believe in us as much as we believe in them, then we become extremely powerful and we're able to create enormous change. Not sure whether that answered your question.
It does. It's powerful on many levels. The fact that the clock is ticking is something that we hear from a lot of people, particularly those who have been struggling with their business or their career for a bit of time. You know, they're not just starting out. They're looking at how much time is there left to actually make some fundamental changes in what I'm doing, in what's around me, so that when the story ends, it's a lot different than it is now. That's one level. Second level, looking at problems that could impact a huge number of people if there's even the tiniest hint of a solution.
Exactly.
And there are people that think that way, and they really want to make a change that will affect many, many people in the world.
That's it. And I mean, that reminds me really of the quote from Jack Fresco, who said, "If you think we can't change the world, it just means you're not one of those who will." And I think, you know, for me, that's incredibly powerful to realize that the world is going to change. And people are changing on a daily basis. And there's no reason why we can't be one of those people. So, you know, if you don't want to leave things to chance, if you, you know, if you want to blame other people, if you want to blame the way the world's going and sit back passively, and, you know, every business makes a difference. This is another realization that I had, is every single business makes a difference. It's up to you which type of difference. You see, if you're not building a business that is sustainable, if you're not trying to look for products or solutions that are sustainable, if you're not trying to create a company that produces sustainable products or solutions or services, then it means you're producing a company that has unsustainable products, unsustainable solutions, and is supporting a collapse in the environment, a collapse in social structures, and is unsustainable for humanity. So that's the bottom line. Every business makes a difference. It's up to you which type of difference your business is making. And if you don't do that consciously, unfortunately, the decision is being made for you, and you probably won't like the outcome.
I think that's so true. So, Leon, what's an example of someone you know personally who is doing remarkable, sustainable work?
Okay, so just straight off the top of my head, I just came back this weekend from going down to Christchurch to meet with the sustainability coordinator from Kathmandu. Kathmandu is a large outdoor clothing company. You know, they're based in New Zealand, Australia, and now the UK, and they're just heading over to Germany and the US very shortly. And, you know, this is a medium-sized company. You know, it's not huge, but it's not a small company either. However, they've recognized the importance and the need for sustainability within their business model. And so they recognize they're not perfect today. And so rather than just saying, oh, we can't be sustainable, it's not possible, they've put together an action plan to constantly improve. So they're looking at, you know, improving the sourcing of their materials. You know, by 2020, they'll only be using sustainable cotton, responsibly sourced down materials, recycling plastic bottles to make some of their fabrics. ensuring that the workers and human rights throughout the entire supply chain are looked after, you know, working on reducing their carbon footprint by increasing efficiency within their stores, using more recycled materials within their store refits, and, you know, giving back to the community by donating and sponsoring various initiatives throughout the world. So, you know, this is a company that is really making an active effort to change a very dirty business. I mean, one of the top industry experts was quoted as saying that the clothing industry was the second most polluting industry in the world after the oil industry, second most polluting industry. And the human rights issues are, you know, phenomenally well documented as being atrocious. So I think, you know, for a company that's faced with such big challenges, to be making such an active lead in trying to change their industry, I think should be highly applauded.
It's a really great example. Leon, you've given us some great tips on how people who are business leaders can focus on sustainability and really try to make a difference and leave the world a better place than it might have been when they entered the world. How can listeners learn more about you and the fabulous work that you're doing?
So for the sustainability element, I mean, we're really pushing the website at the moment, socialpreneur.tv. And this is the project to try and bring together examples of businesses that are doing the right thing, trying to find the challenges within doing the right thing within business and finding solutions to those challenges. As well as one of the other elements to the website that I'm working on now is just to generate ideas and provide ideas for entrepreneurs who want to become socialpreneurs, to give them ideas to build businesses. You know, there's so many possibilities to build a business, or so many ideas for building businesses that I just don't have time for. I can't build them, all of the ideas that I get. So I want to try and create a database of ideas. So if you're sat there now thinking, oh, I'd really like to build a business, but I don't know quite what, or I'd like to build a sustainable-based business, but I don't quite know what, then the idea is that this site will provide you with a range of ideas that you're just welcome to take, because that's the only way that we're going to, you know, create a positive future, is by creating a sharing nation.
Wow, that's great. And what about for the issues you discussed with regard to masterminds? How can listeners find out more about that?
So go to themastermind.nz and you can sign up at the moment for a free beta account, and you can use the platform there, and also check out the book, the last book that I just wrote, which was called Leveraging Masterminds. That's available on Amazon, and that will take you through a step-by-step process of how to find a mastermind group or how to create a mastermind group that will be effective for your needs.
Great. So we'll put those in the show notes. Leon, this has been such a great discussion about all the fabulous things you're doing. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Yeah, my guest today has been international author, speaker. We started out talking about you as an online business expert, but then shifted in talking about sustainability and mastermind expert as well, socialpreneur expert. You're remarkable at so many things. So thank you for joining us. My guest today has been Leon Jay, and thank you again, Leon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by TEND's Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you would write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.